Before we begin our lesson, I would ask that we go to the Lord in prayer. Our righteous Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we can come before you and we can offer our prayers, our petitions to you. I pray, dear Father, that as we get into your word, as we learn and discover the things that you would have us, that, Father, we will have the open and honest hearts to allow your word to reach into our lives and to perform its great work. Help us, dear Father, in our weaknesses. Help me, Father, as I share your word with your people, to do that in a way that is clear, to do that in a way that honors you, that honors your Son. Please, Father, in our weaknesses and in our flaws, we ask that you look into our lives and that you fill us with your grace and you fill us with your word. Please strengthen us in this hour. We thank you so much, and it is in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to ask you the question, have you ever started something good but didn't quite finish the way you started? And I'm sure that's probably true of us all, that we all started something good and we had these great ambitions, we had these great goals in mind, but somewhere along the line we got tripped up and we just didn't finish well. As that has happened to all of us, we are not alone in that regard. This happened to someone. Judah. And from 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we learn that Uzziah's reign started off really good. I mean, he was a very good and godly man. God had blessed him for the things that he had done. But there is a point in time in Uzziah's life where he stopped seeking the ways of the Lord. And as a result, the one who once sat on the throne judging God's people was excluded from the house of the Lord forever. And so our task this evening is going to be to discover what made Uzziah start good but not finish well. And as I mentioned, I think this is so pivotal for us because this is a challenge that all of us face. Just recall the former days when you became a Christian. You remember the young, fresh, and vibrant faith that you had, that you wanted to do the right thing even when the right thing was hard, that you wanted to share God's word, that God's word stirred your heart. But somewhere along the line, life came, and you get older, you get more experience in life, and so you get set in your ways. Sometimes circumstances come as a result, and that changes our hearts. And for some of us, life gets good. I mean, we get wealth, we get power, we get some control, and all of those things, whether good or bad, we end up not finishing the course. And I'm sure many of us know Christians in that regard. But what we learn from Uzziah is that you can have wealth, you can have power, you can have privilege and all of those things, and yet you can end on a bad note. You know, Uzziah was one, as we're going to see, he was a very godly man. He was very wealthy. He was very privileged. In our terms, he grew up as a second, third, fourth generation Christian. But we know even that, and as we're going to see from our text, did not allow him to finish well. And so with that in mind, how can we avoid starting good but not ending good? And so that is what we are going to discover as we look at what led to Uzziah's downfall and from there see what we can do to make sure that does not happen with us. But I want to note just two things about Uzziah's early life. And that is, as I mentioned, we learn that he was a godly man. If you look in verse 3 of chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, the text tells us Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Verse 4, he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Verse 5, he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, and as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. So we learn that Uzziah was a very good and a very godly man. And I just want to send a word out to the young people. We learn that in verse 3, the text tells us that he served the Lord at 16. And I just want to say that it is a good and it is a godly thing to serve the Lord when you are young. When I was younger, there were people who would tell me, you know, you can serve God when you're older, because then that way, while you're young now, you can get all the fun, get all the partying, get all the pleasure out. And I would simply say to that, do not describe to that type of wisdom, because that is going to end you on a bad path. It is a good and it is a great thing to serve God at a young age. And God, He is looking for young people who have that fresh, that vibrant faith, who is going to love His word, who's going to teach people His truth. So please understand that, like Uzziah, you can serve God at a young age. But I also want to say a word to the parents. And look, I'm just going to say, I'm not a parent. So I don't know what you have to go through on a daily basis to raise your youngins to be good disciples of Jesus. However, I know what I put my mom through when I was younger. And I know I was a bit of a heartache and a bit of a pain. But I know it was the constant love and the constant discipline that my mom gave to me that allows me to be the person that I am today. And so I just want to say, just as Uzziah followed in the footsteps of his dad, that you parents, your godly instruction is valuable to your children's spiritual well-being. And so just wanted to say those two things about Uzziah and about us, but also want to mention that Uzziah was not only a godly man, he was also very blessed. Notice verse 5, the text tells us, as long as he sought the Lord prospered him. And so when you get through verses 6 through 15 of this chapter, you're going to see just how God prospered Uzziah. And I have it up here. I actually outlined it. You see that Uzziah, he rebuilt cities. You're going to see that Uzziah, that God helped him, that Uzziah prepared things. You're going to also see that there were Ammonites. These were people from other nations who came and gave tribute to Uzziah. And so you can see from the text that Uzziah was a very blessed man. The Lord had prospered him because he had determined to put the Lord first in all he did. But with all of the accomplishments, with all of the wealth, I want you to notice how the narrative changes. Because when you get to verse 16, after all of the wealth, as verse 15 says, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. And then verse 16, the word but changes the entire narrative. But when he became strong in his heart, he was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Brothers and sisters, we can see right here that Uzziah, he started off good. I mean, how does a man go from being good to having all of these blessings and then to verse 16 where he begins to act unfaithful? Well, I think one of the problems that Uzziah had is one that we all had. And if we are going to finish well, we need to make sure that we remember who blesses us. And that is where Uzziah, that's where Uzziah messed up. That he forgot who was the one blessing him, and he began to trust in his own strength. Notice again, the text tells us, verse 16, he became strong, and his heart became so proud and acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Now, if we contextualize this, here is God who has blessed this king tremendously. And when God gives blessings, those blessings are intended to change us, to draw us closer to him. And in Uzziah's case, that did not happen. And how soon we forget as well that God is so good to us, that he has saved us, that he has rescued us from so many bad circumstances. And yet, what do we do? As Nathan told David, well, oftentimes we repay God with evil. And you know what? This idea of remembering who blesses you, this is so important because God reminded the Israelites of this very same thing. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 17, I mean, God is going to talk about how Israel, when they get in the new land, they are going to get all of these wonderful things. They're going to have all of these resources that they did not have before. And God says, you, when you see all of that, you're going to be tempted to forget who I am and forget who's blessed you. And you, as the text says, verse 14, I have it highlighted, your heart will become proud. That's the same thing that happened to Uzziah. And you will forget the Lord your God. Notice, he brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Verse 15, he led you. Verse 16, in the wilderness, he fed you. And then verse 17, otherwise, if you do not bless him, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this well. You see, this is so consistent with God because he knows the nature of his people. And we see this with Uzziah. And so I want to help us out. Be mindful of the little voice that sometimes comes in our head that tells us you're powerful, you're successful, you're wealthy, you're strong, you don't need God, you got this. Be mindful of that little voice, because if you do not check it, you may be well on your way to forgetting what the Lord has done for you and trusting in your goodness and your own strength. And we learn from Uzziah, we need to make sure if we're going to finish well that we remember where the source of our blessings come from, and that is from the Lord himself. But we not only need to remember who blesses us, but we have a second application, and that is, if we're going to finish well, we need to make sure that we do, or that we strive to do what honors the Lord in our lives. And you know what? That's how Uzziah's life began. It began by him honoring the Lord, as the text tells us, that he sought God's ways. But now he is not. And so if you notice in verse 16, as I read, he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, here's the problem, that Uzziah, he goes into the house of the Lord and he thinks that he can burn incense. Now, this was something that God had ordained the priests to do. This was their work. And so because Uzziah was king and all of those things, he was not permitted to do that. However, because when you're prideful and you think you're great, well, you think you're an exception to the rule. And so what does Uzziah do? Well, he goes into the temple and he begins to burn incense. And I want you to notice what the priests tell him in verse 18. Notice verse 17, excuse me. Then Azariah, the priest, entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have, notice, been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord your God." Now, what's interesting to me about this is that this same thing happens in religion today. That oftentimes we see churches that start off small and they are honoring God, they're following his word. But somewhere along the line, as they get more people in the pews and as they get stronger, they hear that little voice in their head that says, "You know what? Maybe I don't need to believe that we need authority for all we believe and practice. Maybe we ought to spice things up. So how about we implement something how about we implement musical instruments into our worship here? Or how about we do that to spice things up? How about we add this entertainment? How about we do what all these other churches are doing?" And they think they're honoring God when they do whatever they're doing. But what they have ultimately done is they have erected their own idol of false religion. And as a result, God is not being honored. They are. And so as we see this in religion, we have to constantly guard against this idea that we are trying to honor God by not following his word. Because we see with Uzziah, that ended in trouble. And I just want to make a point here. You know, I mentioned this whole thing about instrumental music. And I think this is a good text to talk about the silence of God. You know, typically when you're talking to someone about why we don't use instrumental music in a worship period, sometimes people will say, "Well, God doesn't say we can't use it." And I would simply come to this text and show that God told the priest, he had ordered the priest to burn incense. And so what that meant everybody else, prophet, king, people, were excluded from burning incense. And so in the same way, when we come to Ephesians 5 and we see God says that we are to sing and make melody with our heart to the Lord. God says, sing with your heart. And so what does that mean? Well, that excludes the accompaniment of instrumental music, whether it's guitar, whatever it may be. And so we learn from this text that God's silence, when he says something, he means it. And when he is silent, that does not mean that we go on and do what we want to do. And so I just want to share that with you all in case you do come across someone and you have that conversation. But what are some ways the text gives us to help us make sure that we are honoring God? And I think one is that we are to listen to his word. And as we learn, that is exactly what Uzziah did not do. And all too often in religion and in our personal lives, we let the voices of culture, the voices that are powerful, that are influential, determine how we are to live for the Lord. We allow the voices of culture to determine and dictate how the church is supposed to be ran. And so what we need to do is not allow those little voices to convince us other than what God's word says. We need to block out those voices and only be concerned about what God has revealed through his word. And so we are reminded, if we want to honor God, we need to make sure that we listen to his word. But in addition to that, we need to also make sure that we are listening to the right people. This was so interesting to me. You look at Uzziah, if you go back to verse 17, the text tells us Azariah, the priest. Now, this is the chief priest. He is the high priest. But notice there are 80 other priests. Make sure I'm right on my calculation. There are 80 other priests of the Lord who come in behind him, and they're all telling him the same thing. They're saying, no, it is not for you to offer incense. Now, mind you, all of these priests are saying the same thing. It's not like 40 are saying one thing and the other 40 are saying another. They're all saying one thing. But what happens? Well, Uzziah, he doesn't want to listen to that. He becomes prideful and he rejects their godly counsel. And you know what? I'm just going to have to put myself out there. I remember this was my attitude when I was younger than what I am now. In high school, I didn't care to listen to someone who offered sound counsel. I thought I had things all together. And pride will make you think that. Pride will make you think, I don't need anybody. I got this figured out. And it wasn't until I went through some hardships and my uncle sat me down and he told me something I'll never forget. He said, if you don't get your pride in check, you're going to get killed. And it wasn't until later on that I came to realize, and even coming to Christ, that I had to wrestle my pride in submission and I had to yield myself to the Lord. Because if I didn't, I would do more than get killed. I would lose my soul. And so coming from me, and I'm sure you could, you know, talk to other people in here. And we need to make sure that we are valuing what people of the Lord are trying to tell us. And we're not trying to figure out life on our own. Understand the people that you have as your counselors and your closest advisors. That could be a grandmother, a grandfather. It can be a mom or dad, brother, sister, friend, whoever. If they have your best interests at heart and they want to help you do God's will, please heed their advice because it is going to be helpful for you. And it's going to help you honor God. But because Uzziah didn't do that, I want you to notice what happened. And notice in verse 19, we have the word but again. That helps us know that things are changing. But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, notice how the text emphasizes the leprosy. The leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Verse 20, Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. Verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Wow. King Uzziah goes from royalty to leprosy. I mean, here's the man who once sat on the throne, and now God has removed him from the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, this is what happens when we do not seek to honor God, listen to his word, and listen to the right people. We are cut off from the kingdom of heaven forever. But we need to never underestimate God's graciousness and his desire to bless us. But we need to also be reminded that we need to remember who is blessing us, because if not, we begin to trust in our own strength. And not only that, then we start to honor ourselves and not the Lord. And so we need to learn that from Uzziah's life as we go forward and as we seek to try and finish well. What a tragic story. Of a man who did right, God blessed him, but in the end, he was a leper and he was cut off from the house of the Lord. But thankfully, brothers and sisters, we serve a king, and this was interesting to me. We serve a king who was not cut off from the house of the Lord forever. We serve Jesus. And Jesus, it's amazing that he went to a cross before he could wear a crown. And as a result, this is what Paul says of him. He says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason, because he died for us, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have a king who was willing to humble himself, to come to this earth to die so that we could be saved from God's wrath and so that we could live with him forever. And I'll just say, a king who is willing to leave his glory and to come where I am and to live and to suffer and to die for me is a king that is worth following, a king that is worth serving. But we have to make sure that we are constantly remembering what this king has done for us and making sure that we seek to honor this king and all that he has asked us to do by listening to his word, by listening to the right people as well. And so maybe you're here this evening and you want to honor God. You want to remember what he's done, but you haven't done the first step. And that is, you have not come to Jesus and confessed your sins. You have not confessed faith in him. And Jesus wants you to do that. He died so that you can confess your faith in him. You can turn from this world and turn to him and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And so if that is you and you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.